have your attention, please?
May I 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 have your attention, please?
I assume we have your attention. This is the theme for Attention, Please, which is a program you have normally heard on Mondays at 12:30 or so. But if you've been listening to our messaging around our fund drive last week, our very successful fund drive, thank you so much for your support. You will have heard that we are paying attention to our local news coverage, and we're going to be having some changes. And starting today, Attention Please moves to noon in the place of Compass. Compass is on a break. It's on a hiatus, a reformation of sorts. And a lot of the same people that you have heard on Compass over the years will be back working with us. But we're working on our news coverage so that for the future, we're not sure exactly how long we're going to keep it this way. But Attention Please is going to be our noon program, and it's expanded to be a half an hour program. I'm Larry Stein. I'm the host of the first Attention Please at noon. I appreciate having that slot. It's a pleasure to bring news stories, not unlike what we would hear in Compass, really, to you with Attention Please. And this program will repeat at 5 o'clock today, Monday, and then repeat at noon on Saturday, as Compass did. If you've been paying attention to the arts, culture, and education and history world of Port Townsend, you will know that there's a lot of change going on. Positive change, as one of my people who's on my show today pointed out, that change is opportunity also. Change is a time to improve things, not just to mourn the loss of something that's old and familiar. And Teresa Veras is my first interview here. Teresa Veras, the executive director of Northwind Art, which is the merger of Northwind Center for the Arts on Water Street and Port Townsend School of the Arts. And we covered that when that change happened. Of course, we've been talking about Jeanette Force leaving the Port Townsend Film Festival, and a new director has been chosen, and we will talk to her as soon as we have access to her. She's coming here in December. And Janine Boire made the announcement after this, the Port Townsend Marine Science Center celebrated the acquisition of a building on Water Street, Flagship Landing, for their headquarters and eventually their exhibit space. She announced that it was time for her to step down after that achievement for the period now of building the new, more visible Port Townsend Marine Science Center. So we've heard about all of that on the radio. Today we're going to talk to Teresa Veras about change in the exhibition program or in the exhibition direction of the exhibition program at Northwind Art. Teresa Veras. Teresa, there's been so many changes in the arts and nonprofit community around us. It's amazing. And I wanted to talk to you about a change at Northwind Art. Michael D'Alessandro, the exhibits director there, and he was the director of Northwind Arts before the merger between Northwind Arts and PT School of the Arts.
Yep.
And so he's been there a long time, and he was the director at the point at which they moved to the beautiful building on Water Street that they're in now. And Michael decided to change careers.
Yeah.
Which is great. You know, I once talked to a gentleman who was for a while the head of Cal Arts in Los Angeles, California Institute of the Arts. And we interviewed him down when I was in LA and radio. And he leaned back during an interview and said, you know, I had a mentor of mine who told me that what you really need to do is change careers every 7 years.
Yes.
Here we're talking about Michael changing after 8 years.
Yeah. I think it's, you know, really healthy. 7 years is really a good time. 5, 7, and 10 years seems to be kind of these like golden windows. And Michael actually is leaving at a really incredible time. You know, he served on the Port Townsend School of the Arts board, helped shepherd the merger, of course, as the director of Northwind Arts Center. He kind of knew where everything was. So he's really my helping hand. And he helped us through 10 months, which was just really right. And mm-hmm. now we're kind of ready for Northwind Art 2.0. So mm-hmm. it was mm-hmm. a perfect time to step out, step forward into a new career. And I'm really proud of him. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. I'm really excited for us.
You know, it's exciting about him, because if you've worked with him, you know, you get to know and really like him. And I want to talk about it. But of course, he just started his new job a few days ago. So he doesn't have time to talk right now, but we'll catch up with him once he catches his breath. So you're saying it's an exciting time for changes as Northwind Art. You have a new exhibits director coming in.
Yeah, Kathleen Garrett. Most people know her as Kathleen Moles in the art world, M-O-L-E-S. Kathleen has worked in the arts for, over two decades. Many know her from MONA, the Museum of Northwest Art, and she was the chief curator there. She's also worked with Greg Robinson from BEMA, and has done extensive work on shows and exhibits, and her resume is extraordinary, and we couldn't be happier. And she really kind of dropped into our world in a perfect way. In fact, I was just sharing with you, Larry, that the day that Michael officially resigned, Kathleen moved to Port Townsend from Mount Vernon to be with her husband, Jim Garrett, here in town. And we all know how tricky housing is and all of that. So she was here, and then she actually came on to my radar days after through a Northwind Art supporter. And then I happened to run into her in the hardware store.
That's the way it happens.
It
could be the co-op or the hardware store.
Yes. Yeah. It's, you know, one or the other. And I just said to her, I said, so apparently we need to talk. And she said, oh, good. I was hoping so.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that happens so often, really, when you talk to organizations. It sure happened with us here at the radio station. As the founders of the radio station always put it, when we needed somebody, the right person walked in the door.
Divine order.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what's Kathleen going to be doing? I mean, last time I saw Michael at the gallery on Taylor Street, he just was flying high. He was feeling great. He was very excited about the Max Grover show, and he was excited about the kind of change in tone of the gallery and the gallery store and all that. But you know, he was having a great time. But
he was really having a good time. I think it, you know, I'll just say, and Michael, I'm sure we'll share this too. It was hard for him to leave because he was kind of having the time of his life. It's like, it's a really cool job. So, but I also, you know, understand the need for change, Anyway, Kathleen, her job as exhibits director going into 2022 is to keep all the shows going. We have a full calendar of extraordinary exhibits. And as many of our listeners know, we not only have one gallery, but we actually have three, essentially. We have the Showcase Gallery. We have the Jeanette Best Showcase, which is on Water Street at 701 Water Street in our main hub building. And then we have the Max and Sherry Grover Gallery, which is across from the Rose Theater. So all three of those venues are being programmed within weeks of one another. So there's always this really exciting kind of like churn and turnover. Mm-hmm. So Kathleen is taking the reins on a year's worth of programming. She's working closely with artists. She's coming to us with a lot of really good ideas for programming into the end of 22 and 23. She's marrying a lot of the content that she's bringing or that we're bringing forward with educational opportunities through our educational programs and our space around the fort. So she's got great ideas. She's got kind of a nice runway to get her feet wet and to get to know everybody. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to see what she does.
Wonderful. We'll talk to her soon. I put in a call to her, but she wasn't able to get back to me yet.
That'll be great. You really like her.
She's probably too busy too with her new job. So
yeah.
So that's great. Kathleen Garrett, the new director of exhibitions at Northwind Art. Like so many nonprofits around our town, we're part of that community. We always have to raise money to keep mm-hmm. ourselves going. Mm-hmm. And as we're speaking right now, you happen to have an online auction going. And the auction has often been the centerpiece of fundraising for organizations like ours. So people can go online. Tell us about how to access the online auction.
We've actually, this year we were so excited in the beginning of the year, just with the more positive news around COVID, we actually scheduled a large scale event that we had to, of course, reimagine. So we've had three fundraising events to kind of make up that one big event. So we had our Max Grover paint party and picnic in August and September. Bill Kurtzinger did that incredible show at the Grover Gallery, National Geographic photographic treasure here in Port Townsend. And we did really great with that. We actually still have portfolios available of Bill Kurtzinger's extraordinary work. So those are available as a fundraiser for Northwind Art. And then finally, kind of the icing on the cake here, from now until November 14th, we have an online auction with extraordinary treasures of jewelry and wood-turned bowls and stools from woodworking champions and amazing paintings and experiences, so on and so. Please jump online at www.northwindart.org, and you'll see in our header there, you can sign up to bid. This, again, is our grand finale. We have, you know, everybody has kind of a gap at the end of the year, and all funds will go toward our programs and support of artists, and you get something cool in exchange. So go bid often, check often.
I noticed, I took a look at it, and I noticed, as often happens in-person auctions for arts organizations, you, of course, can buy art, and you can buy art by artists you'd know and like, and or an artist you've never seen before. But also you can go and just contribute to helping the educational mandate of your organization. And I noticed you can, through the auction, you can buy supplies for students. You can pay for visiting artists to come and work at the school teaching. So it's not just buying art.
Yeah, there are really great opportunities. Actually, you know, we gave over, over three dozen full ride scholarships to summer camps that were live this year. Three dozen. So that's $250 bucks a kid. That was actually all from our generous donors. So you know, $50 will buy art supplies. You can leave a little note in the notation box. Like, I want this to go to kids. I want this to go to art supplies. $250 goes to a full ride scholarship for a kid's art camp. You know, the great thing about our mission is the artists are at the heart of everything we do, and every penny that comes in to, like, through these fundraising events, they go to our programs. They go to scholarships, they go to kids, and they go to support artists. And I just, you know, before I went on my little birthday vacation, which I'm on right now, I was tallying up what we've contributed and given to artists to support what they do this year. And, you know, it's over $125,000 we've written checks to artists. And I got to tell you, like, right now is a time in our world and in the light of everything, we need art, and we need our artists to be able to make art. So that's what Northwind Art really does. And that's what our generous donors support.
One thing I noticed, particularly in the auction, is that item where you can support the visiting artists that come and teach. Maybe you can tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, we support a lot of local artists. It's you know, we've kind of look at these things as in percentages. About 70% of our artists are local, and the rest are from out of our area. And we bring in artists to bring in new concepts and new classes, new art, and to just bring in, you know, that peer base. So our visiting artists and faculty, we like to be able to put them up when they're here. We'd like to be able to pay for their transportation and incentivize them to get here. So that's what those funds go toward.
Yeah, great. Well, thanks for taking time from your return from your birthday vacation. Happy birthday. I hope it was a good vacation.
It was wonderful. Really nice time. And you know what? The best part about being away is looking forward to coming back with new energy and ideas. And I've got that. It's great.
Great. Wonderful. Teresa Veras, the executive director of Northwind Art, the combination of Northwind Arts Center and Port Townsend School of the Arts. Thank you for talking with us again.
Thank you, Larry.
We heard from Teresa Veras, the executive director of Northwind Art, which encompasses the galleries on Water Street and Taylor Street and Port Townsend School of the Arts, our soon-to-be neighbor at Maker's Square in Fort Worden. I'm Larry Stein. You're listening to Attention Please at News at its new time at noon on Monday, repeating at 5, and then repeating on Saturday at noon. We have to thank you. You probably heard it many times this week, but I thank you again and again and again for supporting us so in such a healthy manner and with such energy, really, in terms of the fund drive we just had. The station is here because you support it and you make it possible. An interesting new feature in Port Townsend is called Story Walk. It's something that's a national trend, actually, but it's been embraced by local communities all over the country, and we've had occasional story walk kinds of programs here in our area, but the first and kind of nationally connected story walk has recently opened at the Katai Lagoon along the walking path that's on the south end of the lagoon. And I wanted to talk to Melody Sky Weaver. Her name is Jane. She recently got married. Melody Sky Weaver, the director of Port Townsend Library, about this project. But I thought also I'd go out there and capture the sound of doing the story walk, which, frankly, was on a very cold morning, as it has been these days, out by Katai Lagoon. So we're going to take a little tour of the beginning of Story Walk, and then we're going to talk to Melody Sky Weaver here on Attention Please, KPTC. Here's the entry on Landis Street to the Katai Lagoon Nature Park. There's a placard here. It says Story Walk. Port Townsend Public Library presents Story Walk. Welcome to Story Walk. Enjoy reading a story and strolling through Katai Lagoon Nature Park. The story starts at Landis Street and ends at Kearney Street. Stories will rotate every couple of months. Happy reading. Let's go to the first panel. Hi.
Morning.
Here is the first panel. Two pages of a book called The Cool Bean from the number one New York Times bestselling team, Jory John and Pete Oswald. We see two beans outside of the Beanside Elementary School. There's a third bean student up on the stairs in front of the doors that say, Go Pods, Go, Home of the Pods. Looks like a real nice school ground on the cover with the first cool bean. It's a real beautiful morning after a windy, stormy night. It's a nice walk. Oh, the ducks are all out. The sun's out after clouds. Here we are at the first interior page. The cool beans are three beans dressed as the coolest students in school. The text is, watch out, here come the cool beans. Oh yeah, check out how they move. The cool beans are doing a pose, striking a pose, dancing. Look at the way they swagger. Notice their sunglasses. Yow! Cool beans, man, they carry some power, don't they? Let's go to panel number three. Our duck friends are here. Panel number three. We're inside the hallway of the school and their lockers, very familiar looking lockers on a hallway. The three cool beans are walking down the hallway, and there's one solo bean in the foreground looking at them. The cool beans are known all over school, from house to house, across town and beyond county lines. On the next page, there's a pod holding the cool beans. The cool beans are relaxing in the open bean pod,
looks like sort of a wavy slide at a playground. In the olden days last year, we were all one big pot of beans. We were a mixed bag, but somehow it worked. Yep, those were the good old days. And of course, the beans are all different colors. The three cool beans are wearing sunglasses, but they're all different color beans. And the questioning young bean, apparently, who's on the outs, is sitting at the bottom of the pod, looking up at them, saying, "Do I fit?" Not saying it, but the expression says, "Do I fit?"
Hi, I'm Melody Sky Weaver, Library Director for the City of Port Townsend Public Library.
Melody, I was excited when I heard about the concept of the story walk, and I think we discussed it when I was speaking with you and the director of the Jefferson County Library also. This is sort of a national thing that's happening, and we're keying into it. So this is wonderful that we could actually have the first. Is this the first story walk along the Cotai Lagoon?
It's the first permanent story walk along the Cotai Lagoon. So this has been a dream in the making for a couple of years. Our amazing children's librarian, Hillary Verhagen, first started doing temporary story walks along Cotai Lagoon back in 2017 and 2018 when we had Leif Whitaker's My Old Man and the Mountain as our community read. And we got inspired to do story walks because Leif told us that the Whitaker family motto is "Leave no child inside." So Hillary got this great challenge thinking, well, how are we going to do a fun program that connects early literacy with being outside? And she discovered that story walks were happening in the East Coast from Anne Ferguson in Vermont. She created the first story walks. And so we've had these temporary ones that have gone up every year. And we realized we got so much amazing feedback from people of all ages. So you don't have to be a kid to enjoy this. It's definitely for the young at heart of how people would love just to have a story walk all the time.
I have to give you a little personal experience with that. I went to take a look at the beginning of Story Walk of the first few panels, and a man was walking his dog, a big, tall, macho man kind of guy, and he was walking his dog, and he saw me looking at the story panels, and he made it a point of stepping aside and saying, "It's a really good story, and it has a good ending, too."
Oh, that just warms my heart, Larry. Thank you so much. See, it is. It's for everybody to enjoy. That's the beauty of story walks.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the book you chose for Story Walk this time.
Yeah. So for our first one, we wanted to honor all of Hillary's hard work because it was quite a process to get the permanent story walk in. And one of her favorite story time books is The Cool Bean. It's a really fun series. There's another book called The Bad Seed, and they're books about kindness. And we thought, what a wonderful way to introduce our story walk to the community. Let's just promote a little more kindness for everyone.
Sure. It's something we all need, given the tone of the times, actually. Even locally here in our city. So that's perfect. Perfect. So talk us through the use of Story Walk. How do people experience Story Walk?
Yeah, that's a great question. So for this Story Walk, people will go to Cotai Lagoon and they'll start at the Landis Street entrance and they'll walk along the path and read a couple pages of the picture book at a time. So then by the time they get to the end of the path over on the Kearney Street entrance, they'll have read a whole picture book, had a lovely walk, been in nature. So can we combine better things than reading stories and being outside?
Really, even in the winter, even in blustery times, you know, everybody's used to bundling themselves up and their kids up and take a walk around the lagoon and just dress appropriately.
Yeah, that's right. When we were installing it, we met this wonderful mom and her son that come to the library frequently, and she's from Vancouver, BC. And she said, I just love this. Weather is not an issue in their household. They were bringing up their little boy to know that, you know, all weather is good weather and you go outside and enjoy the outdoors no matter what the weather is. And I was like, that is a good mantra to live by.
That's really good. So the mechanics of it are the pages of the book are placed in look like permanent little structures, basically little placard holders that are along the pathway. So that those will be replaced from time to time with new books.
Yeah, we're hoping to change out those stories a couple of times a year. And what we do is we take apart a picture book and we laminate the pages so that they're weatherproof, because you just need to do that. And then we put them into these wonderful signs that we had built by an all-woman sign company in the Midwest. They specialize, only place in the world right now that specializes in making story walk signs.
Wow, it's a unique little niche that they found for themselves.
Yeah. And it couldn't have come at a better time, Larry, because when Hillary was first doing story walks, it was just a lovely thing to do. But during the pandemic, they have just literally exploded in popularity. The Jefferson County Library has, I believe, 3 temporary story walks out throughout the county. You can come and see a couple in Kitsap. What a great way for people to safely get together and enjoy the outdoors. So it's been a silver lining of this time to see these wonderful story walks become more popular and prevalent.
Yeah. I understand in reading about it, it sounds like it has also some support to get this done from organizations from around the country. It's not just us doing it ourselves. You can tie into a national movement on this.
Yeah, it's all thanks to Ann Ferguson in Vermont, who created this idea. So we were able to get a good idea ready to go for the story walk. And then locally, this was made possible through our incredible city support, through the Parks Department, Public Works, and then our Library Foundation funded the signs. And our friends of the library pay for the stories. So like I always like to say, it takes a village to make projects like this happen. A lot of good people supported us.
It sure does. I mean, when you think about all the governmental and semi-governmental hands that are in to the places that the story walk happens and to the process of putting something on public property, that's a complicated thing to pull off.
Yes, it is. It takes a good degree of patience and just trusting the process, because we did have to go through a permitting process, reached out to several stakeholder groups to run the project by them, went through a couple of different iterations to make sure that we were doing the best project we could for the community. So I appreciate that. I love going through that process, actually, because then it becomes truly a group project. Even though this was a dream of the library, the community helped support this.
Mm-hmm. And this will be a permanent feature of our nature walks around the wonderful lagoon that is just pleasant enough on its own, but it's a little extra thing to entertain your kids or entertain you really along to read while you're walking. It's pretty great. Well, thank you for explaining it to us, and thank you for spearheading having this work. And I understand Hillary is the one who has really worked really hard on this.
Oh yeah, it's her brainchild. I just got to help support her. So I'm so grateful to her. And the best thing that Hillary and I could have gotten from this whole thing, besides just all the lovely thank yous and smiles from kids and families, is that Ann Ferguson herself wrote to us and sent us a thank you email for putting up a story walk and for spreading kindness. So, you know, we had kind of a fangirl moment hearing from the creator.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much. Well, we'll talk about other things going on at the library. We check in from time to time, and it's important to let people know the amazing services that our libraries provide us with. So,
oh, thank you so much, Larry. It's always an honor to be on KPTZ and to honor all the amazing work that the radio station.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's our job here, really, is to network everybody. And in this case, we're networking a spirit of kindness and frankly, joy being able to combine a nature walk with a book. So that's terrific. Thank you. Melody Sky Weaver, congratulations on your recent marriage. And I know how hard it is to change your name when you're a professional and everybody knows you with one name.
Well, thank you for the grand reintroduction. I appreciate it.
Melody Sky Weaver, the head of our Port Townsend Public Library. The next panel. It's the playground. The beans are on the playground. There is a teeter-totter and those big, huge tires implanted in the ground that kids can climb around. Excuse me, the beans can climb around and have fun at recess. But the text says, and then we stopped seeing each other as much. That's just how it is sometimes. You spend less time together, even though you're not totally sure why. The lonely solo bean is sitting on a swing
And the cool beans are in some snazzy-looking car taking a cruise around town. I watched as the beans I knew so well, the beans from my own pod, became the cool beans. Oh, they were so cool. Here we are, about halfway through the trail. One of the cool beans with the sunglasses is playing a rock and roll guitar. One of them is painting at an easel. One of them is dunking a basketball on the basketball court. One of them could play the guitar. Cool. One of them could draw the best superheroes. Cool. One of them could jump higher than any bean I had ever known. Cool. Bicycle rider just came by.
I'm sorry to have to interrupt the reading of the cool bean. It's such a great, it's a great story. I urge you to go out there and walk the trail there at Katai Nature Lagoon from Landis Street towards Kearney along the south end of the Katai Lagoon. Thank you, Melody Sky Weaver, and thank you, Teresa Veras, for talking with us earlier here on Attention Please. This is the new spot for Attention Please. You'll be able to hear us every week, Monday at noon and 5 and Saturday at noon with various hosts. I'll usually be doing the second Monday of the month. This is Larry Stein for KPGZ. Thank you for supporting us and being with us.